coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios. This is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
All right, guys. Hope you're enjoying this day. We're getting some good feedback here for sure on doubts. And you're doing show prep for us, like we said.
Yeah, some of what's coming in. Doubts about, am I actually forgiven and going to heaven? Doubts about my future. Doubts that he's with me. Doubt that heaven really, does it exist? And will I find out, or will it just be at the end that I find out?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much that can be determined ahead of time for sure. By the way, if you're wondering about heaven, the greatest snapshot is Revelation 21. Just go there and check it out. It's pretty amazing. And if you have a Moody Bible commentary sitting next to you, it'll help you sort out what's going on there, because you've got, you know, the thing that we trade, by the way, gold's at an all-time high, I think, today, because of global economics and like gold's going through the roof. They're on a six-day run on gold. It's like 2,200 and change an ounce or something like that on gold today. But the stuff that we trade and that secures our currency, which supposed to be backed by gold, but who knows if that's happening anymore.
Yeah.
But the stuff that secures our currency, we're going to walk on in heaven.
Ah, it's a beautiful picture.
It's amazing. But it's this translucent, it's gold, but it's epic. Go check it out. Revelation 21, pretty cool stuff. But we're going to log some of these down for sure, and we're going to tackle these. We're going to have a week of common fears and a week of common doubts. It's going to be great. And the reason I love that word common is you're not an oddball for having these questions. And I think sometimes we've so trained ourselves that there's some things you just don't ask. Just take what the preacher gives you and don't ask him the tough ones.
And you feel like I should have figured this out by now, or what will it say about me or my faith?
What does it say about me or my faith if I'm asking it, right?
Yeah. So there's doubts can be isolated in them because they feel like almost like this secret that has to be kept.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Allie. It is exactly right. Well, we're covering a lot of ground here today. And have you ever heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Yes. I remember learning about that in, I don't know, junior high, high school.
Yeah, before 1943, they couldn't have heard about it, because that's when Maslow wrote his paper called The Theory of Human Motivation. And there's a lot of things that motivate us. The reason you're out on the roads right now, or you're getting up and you're working out, or you're getting up and you're having meetings today, it's all based on motivation of need. We all have needs. God put them there. And I love to look at these philosophical papers that are kind of undergird education in Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Is it inspired by God? No, but it's a snapshot of what's really going on in our world today. So coming up here in a couple of minutes, I'm going to take you through the great pyramid of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Human motivation, what motivates us? And I think you'll resonate with all these. And then the obvious question is, how are these needs going to get met?
Discipleship to start your day. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Today here in the next, 15, 20 minutes, if you can hang around, we're going to walk you through an exercise that you're going to need a piece of paper and a pen. You can use a pencil, disappearing ink, anything like that.
Okay.
Did you ever have those as a kid? Did you ever have disappearing ink as a kid?
Cool.
Oh, yeah. I had one of those one time. Problem is, you have to press those stinking hard. It's indelibly etched on the paper, your messaging.
The one that you have to have like a light to see. Like it kind of, you don't see it with the naked eye.
Yeah, it's one of those jobbies.
Or the magic marker. You go over with another marker.
Yeah.
It's coated.
Those are fun.
The big deal was your parents won't know. But they always knew.
Okay.
You just take that little pencil, you go across all those rub marks, and that's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you guys, we're going to have an exercise coming up here that's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be important. But we all have needs. You're getting up, you set an alarm, maybe you didn't set an alarm. Your body clock, like mine, goes off without an alarm every day, like clockwork, before the clock goes. But we all have needs that drive us. And in 1943, Maslow wrote the paper, A Theory of Human Motivation. Every college campus, probably high schoolers go through this, right?
Yep.
It's broken into five categories of need. I'll start with the bottom one, physiological needs. Breathing, food, water, shelter, clothing, sleep. I'd call those the essentials, right?
Yeah. Gotta survival.
Yeah. And then safety and security. Health, employment, property, family, social ability. Those are real. Love and belongings in here. Isn't this interesting? Maslow knew why the church is so important, whether he went to one or not. Friendship, family, intimacy, sense of connection. Big one. Then you go up the chart. Self-esteem, confidence, achievement, respect of others, the need to be a unique individual. So he was talking about what's your truth way back then.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Well, on a twisted version of it, you could. He probably didn't conceive that people would ever say that. I'm sure Maslow was still kind of old school, that there is truth and there is things that are not truth, but I digress. Then you have self-actualization at the pinnacle. Morality, creativity, spontaneity, acceptance, experience, purpose, meaning, and inner potential. It's amazing how the higher you go, the deeper you really need to get with God and others. Isn't that true? I mean, you start off at those most basic things and it's like, yeah, I better get out and grind. But what if I told you encompassing this whole chart is someone who cares more than Maslow or your mom and dad? It's amazing, but it's true. We all have needs. And there's a passage of scripture in John 21 that is one of the coolest stories, and I relate to it so well because it's a fishing story. And I feel for these guys. And we'll give the context of this whole thing. But the bottom line is, Jesus showed up after his resurrection. And he showed up and to meet us with things that he needed to visit us in. Our tears, our fears, our doubts. We're going to tackle our needs and how Jesus addressed that. Coming up, Minute and a Half.
Whether it's number one or 100, take that step with Jesus today. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
So there's this really cool story, and it's in John 21. The disciples have met with Jesus. They know that he is alive. That's already been proven. Jesus met with Mary of Magdala and wiped away her tears and said, "Come on, girl, we're going to be okay." Man, what a visitation that must have been. And then we find in his meeting with the disciples, they were locked behind a door and they were scared. And you can't blame them, can we, guys?
No, I mean, they didn't have understanding yet.
No.
So they had seen that Jesus was crucified. They knew what he had said prior to going to the cross.
Yes.
And he told them, these things, they may not make sense to you now, but they will.
They will.
And they were kind of in that in-between.
Yeah, that's right on. That's a good way to put it. They were in that in-between stage. And then you go on to look at Thomas, and what an epic thing. He hadn't been there with the boys on the first go-around, and Jesus shows up, and he accommodates his doubts. But then we go into chapter 21. And we find this story where the disciples go fishing. And you might say, well, why are they going fishing? And I think in our context today, we don't understand this. But you got to remember, the disciples lived in a culture and a time when, if you look like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, physiological needs, breathing, food, water, shelter, clothing, sleep, they didn't have a stocked refrigerator or freezer with Costco wild-caught salmon fillets. They didn't have food stored up. It was just like I was in Burundi about a half a year ago now. Everything that they make that day, they go purchase then food for that night because that's just the way it's supply, demand, got to get it right now. Peter and the boys are hungry. So Peter jumps in. He says, "Guys, I'm going fishing." And so I think in total, seven of them said, well, we're going with you. And so they're brothers and they go out fishing. And when dawn broke, Jesus is watching them fish. And he asked them a question. Hey, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you're going to find some there. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. This is big. Can I just tell you, as a commercial fisherman, this is huge. I know what it is to fish all night long, have 300 yards of gill net out that you mended, you repaired cork lines, and then you go on night watch and you're looking that you don't drift into big trawlers that are out there. You're making sure that you aren't drifting onto sandbars. You're looking at a fathometer. I'm telling you how it works. In the middle of the night, commercial fishing in Bristol Bay. If the waves are getting too big, you're waking up the captain at some point because you got a round haul 300 yards of gill net into the back of a boat. So you're checking a fathometer, which is checking the depth underneath the keel. And I fell asleep on one occasion. And, oh, it's a scary thing. We had drifted onto a sandbar. I hadn't even realized it. And the fathometer was set with a warning button, that bell that was going to go off at like 10 or 15 feet. Something happened. And I'm sitting there in the captain's chair, sound asleep, supposed to be on night watch. And bam, our keel hit the ground.
Oh, no.
Bam, it hit it again when another wave dropped us right to the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, wow.
And you need to know, in a little gill netter like that, you can blow a hole in the bottom of the boat in a heartbeat. And you're sunk, literally. My captain comes up out of his berth. What's going on? I said, I fell asleep. I am so sorry. He said, start it. Got a 3208 turbo diesel Caterpillar engine. And now the wind's blowing us further onto the sandbar. And the more shallow you get, then you can go reverse prop all day long and you can't get off that thing. You're stuck and you got 300 yards of gill net laying out there in the ocean. You got a total disaster. By God's grace, that day we backed up in the night and long hauled that net in and got out of danger. But the bottom line is, when you're out fishing, and I've been on the Sea of Galilee, I've seen where these guys fish and squalls can come up, and it's a lot of work to fish all night.
And then to end up with nothing.
Nothing.
Probably is disappointment is probably an understatement.
Some of the most disappointing moments of my life have been fishing all night in Bristol Bay, pulling in 300 yards of gill net with not one salmon in it.
Wow.
Heartbreaking. Because you've sacrificed sleep.
Yeah.
You were hoping for at least 3,000, 4,000 pounds of fish. I've had, we call them water hauls in Alaska. Boy, I'm taking you guys to Alaska here. Call them water hauls. Water hauls means no fish, just water. Oof. Well, what'd Jesus do here, Allie? What'd he do?
He asked them first a question to help them identify their need. He knew whether or not they had any fish. When he says, children, do you have any fish? He didn't ask that because he needed the information. He allowed them to identify, no, we don't have any. And then he tells them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. They didn't ask any questions. They just went ahead and did it. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, nets that were seconds ago empty are now full.
Right on. So we're going to do something that involves some discipleship. I'm going to ask you to follow Jesus today. The principle here is God wants to show up and meet your needs. There's so many implications here. But in a minute and a half, I'm going to ask you to use a piece of paper and pen, and I want everyone who is physically able to get one, and I've got mine right here. I want everyone in studio, all of us, piece of paper and pen. We're going to do something really cool. It's private. We're not going to share it with anyone. I'm not going to have you text it in. This is totally private. But I dare to believe that our God wants to meet you in your needs. I dare to believe it. You know, sometimes we don't listen to the voice of Jesus calling out, how you doing over there? We just keep fishing. And maybe God's got a message for you today. Coming up, minute and a half. Little discipleship right here this morning.
Your shot of hope to make it through the day. It's Carl and Crew Mornings.
God wants to show up in your needs. This isn't a throwaway story here in chapter 21. I feel like crying, guys. You know how I know that? You know what John said? Verse 30 of chapter 20. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have Zoe life in his name. I wonder how many needs we have in our life that we haven't listened to the voice of Jesus on the beach who's calling out. You got any fish in the net? Do you have a job? Oh, you don't? Could I give you some direction? How's that going with that son of yours? It's not going good. Oh, I've got a plan. Would you listen to me a minute? I'm telling you, man. We've so inundated ourselves with spiritual information from the Word of God and done so little application. This little exercise might be absolutely foreign to you, but it's solidly biblical. It is. Boom Crew, I want you to write down the three greatest needs, not wants, those yearning needs in your life. I'm going to give you a song to do it in. And I just want you to write them down. I want you to listen to the Spirit of God. I'm not going to presume what they are. They're myriad, though, aren't they, Allie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've already got things popping in my mind.
Of course you do.
Like, okay, let's do this.
Yeah. So we're going to write down the three biggest needs that we have, knowing that God wants to show up in your life today.
And so give some, this can be the back to this hierarchy of needs. This can run the full gamut, yeah. Right? These can be basic survival needs. I need a place to live. I need food, all the way up to those kind of.
Yeah, I'll cherry pick these. That's a great catch. This can be food. This can be shelter. So this is a home. This can be a job. It can be a house. It can be a friend. It can be intimacy. It can be respect. It can be self-confidence. I think you got enough there. Your three biggest needs, I want you to write them down on a piece of paper right now. If you're driving, don't get fancy with your phone on me right now. But just log them in your heart. Some of you might want to pull to the side of the road. This would be a great exercise. Find a safe area and just put them down. I want you to write those down, and then after this song, we'll talk about where we're going to go with these things, because there's another step. Three greatest needs on your heart before God today.
Find us on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram.
So there are four appearances that Jesus wants to make in your life. In your tears, in your fears, in your doubts. And today we're drilling down on in your needs. This is a very important passage of scripture. The disciples were hungry. Don't you know they had a lot of questions in their mind? What in the world are we going to do? We spent 3 years of our life following Jesus around. Where are we going to go? They have not been commissioned yet. This is not the day of Pentecost. This is only a few days into his resurrection. So they had probably, let me do the math, they probably had 42, 43 more days before they got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
So they're running around going, all right, well, job one, we're hungry. Let's go fishing. And so they jump out and they go fishing all night long. And they came up empty. Now, why did they come up empty? I think God caused them to come up empty. Why? Because he wanted to prove something to you today. That when we listen to his voice, look out. Now, there's some principles here about God meeting our needs that we can't miss. So we're going to break that down a little bit. But if you're just joining us here, I want you to do an exercise. Grab a piece of paper and pen and write down your top three needs that you have. And these revolve around these basic things.
Yeah, this can be all as basic as, man, I need a place to live. I'm homeless right now, or I'm kind of in sleeping on couches. I need a place to live. I need food. All the way up to, man, I need a sense of purpose. I need self-confidence. I need a sense of belonging. I need intimacy. I need friendship. So it can all be survival, physiological, all the way up to the more kind of actualization is what Maslow's hierarchy of needs calls it, self-actualization.
Yeah. So there's basic needs that we have, and they come in so many different ways. I mean, I've got my big three down here, and this was a great exercise for me. Is it helpful?
Very helpful to really think about it, because all kind of needs will come to mind.
Sure.
I mean, we don't go through a day that we don't have something that we need. But when you really, what are those big ones in my life that I want to bring before the Lord? Like, I need this.
The story goes on. It's one of the coolest things. And you can't miss this, guys. Now, if you're not a commercial fisherman, you might miss it. But let me explain another nuance of commercial fishing to you here that is what they were. These were fishermen that fished not only for their own need, but there's a good chance, and sure enough, they did. They would have sold whatever they didn't eat. So they come back to the beach. And by the way, the disciple that Jesus loved, who wrote this book, his name is John, and he addresses himself that way. So he was a loved dude. He told Peter, he said, "That's Jesus on the beach." Now they get back to the beach, and an amazing thing happens. So they didn't just run out of the boat and go see Jesus. They pulled the fish along with them. You ready for this? 153 fish in that net. They went from zero to 153. But here's the astounding thing. The fish net did not tear. Now, this is huge. And this is a direct application point that I'm going to give you here in just a moment. But this is powerful. The net did not tear. Now, you might say, well, what's that mean? When you get a large amount of fish, trust me, I've done this for 8 seasons. You get a net full of, let's say, 3,000 pounds of salmon. The one thing you don't want to have happen is your net tear, because you're glad for that haul of fish, but you've got to go out and set it again. And if you've got a torn net, you got many hours of mending gear. We call it mending gear. I learned from some of the best old Italian fishermen. All these guys are dead and gone now. I remember sitting down with Nick Aliotti's dad. Nick Aliotti's dad was probably 80 years old, and he could barely speak English. But he sat down beside me, and he put his hands around me and showed me how to use a FID and mending line and how to mend gear. And it was awesome. But the thing I dreaded most when we were commercial fishing, Allie, was the net tearing.
Would that mean that there would be a loss of the fish too? Or
the fish are already in.
Okay.
So they got the fish, but in order to go back out and fish again.
Got it.
So here's the cool principle. When God supplies your need, he doesn't tear stuff up in the process. There's a certain health and vitality around it. There's not, you know, a lot of people say, well, look how God's provided, but kind of they look at God's provision, but it's this maelstrom of mess and kind of a trail of tears. And I'm not sure God's in that. Let me give you something here, though, that's really practical. First and foremost, if you've got needs in your life, get in the boat and go. Don't sit on the beach. That's one thing for sure. How do I know this? Could God have ever told them to cast the net on the other side if they hadn't been in the boat fishing, Allie?
No.
I mean, they got to get out on the water.
So what do you mean in terms of how to apply that? Like start moving forward in some direction?
If you need a relationship, get to church and start looking. If you need a job, get your name into the market. I know you're discouraged today. You've looked and looked. I'm asking you to throw your net out there again in whatever your need is. And I've got my three right here. I can tell you right now. There's a way to get my net in the water with all three of my needs. So get your net wet. Get your net in the water, number one. Number two, listen to the voice of God. Do you know how many times we go out job searching, but we never stop to listen to Jesus?
Very true.
Do you know how many times we're looking for, oh, I need intimacy, I need camaraderie, I need a friend. I'm going to go back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs here. I need a sense of connection. I need help with my health, but we don't stop and listen to the voice of God. So number one, get your net wet. Get your net in the water. Number two, listen to the voice of God. Now, how does this work today? The Spirit of God is alive, moving, and will guide you into all truth. We find that in John 16, which, by the way, is just a few chapters before this. Yep. And he had already told his disciples how to be living and thinking. So get your net wet, listen, and then here's what I would say. Sit down with God and have a barbecue and celebrate what he's done in your life, because that's what the disciples did. I had a great discussion with my son, whose company is just ripping it right now. He called me this morning. He's in Miami. The one thing Wide's dad did for me that I passed on to my son, I said, son, don't forget to praise God for what he's doing. Yeah, Dad. He said, it's so weird. I find it so easy to pray for things, and then I get them, and then I just totally spaced out who gave them to me. I said, welcome to the club, yeah, son.
I mean,
welcome to the club.
Remember the story where only one person came back to say thank you when Jesus met their needs?
Absolutely. So I don't know what God wants to do in your life today, but I know this. He's our need meter. Get your net wet. Put it out there. You got a problem with the kid? There's a way to get that net wet today. You got a heart that's just aching for friendships. Get your net wet. If you sit at home, he can't tell you to put it on the other side because it isn't even in on one side. You got to get your net wet. You got to listen to God. And then as Jesus provides, be sure to celebrate with him. Oh, man. Isn't God's word fun?
Yes. So good.
Isn't it practical?
And, you know, I was looking at this verse in Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Like, all of us have different needs and are asking different things of the same God, who's able to, according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus, supply all of them. Like, there's no lack here. It's not like my asking for fish here means you don't get any.
Yeah, totally, Allie. And sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. Coming up here in a moment, you might say, how does Jesus know where to throw the net? Oh, got another illustration from commercial fishing in Alaska that I'll give you. Haven't shared it in 4 years. Hang on.
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Today we're talking that God wants to show up in your needs. He does. Food, water, shelter, employment, family issues, health. Does God want to show up in your health? Yeah. I got one of our elders, I'm not going to say who it is, has a wife that's gone through some physical challenges. And God may have supernaturally worked through some providential conversations and redirected a big decision and an operation she was going to get or not get. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it that foggy. But you know what I'm witnessing? I'm witnessing God injecting himself into someone who's got a net in the water going, where do we go? Now, sometimes I think we can wonder, how does Jesus know where to throw the net? How does that all that work? And we've got to get as simple as this with regard to the perspective that God has. So he's omniscient. He's omnipotent, meaning he knows all things and he has all the power to pull it off. So the best analogy for me is, I think it was 4 years ago, I shared this with you. Commercial fishing in Alaska for 8 seasons, and we fished at a very high level. I was on a great vessel, the Gene M. My captain was very good at putting us on fish. But something happened, I forget what the summer was, probably second season of fishing. And Marvin said, we're getting on this one. And there were some Super Cubs and 180s, these are little bush planes, that offered their services for a pretty hefty price, by the way, to be spotter pilots. Now, when you're on the ocean, especially in the murky water of Alaska and Bristol Bay, fathometers and fish spotters and all that, all you bass fishermen and all you guys that use these fish finders and all that, don't take them to Alaska. They ain't going to do dip, diddly, squat for you up there. Nothing. So we're up there fishing away, and we struck a deal with a really good pilot. And boy, was this a game changer. I'll never forget the first time he came out, and Marvin got a call on the VHS. Spotter pilot left Naknek, Alaska, headed for the village of Ugashik, and we're out off the coast of Ugashik, and we're in about, 40 feet of water. Got 300 yards of net out, nothing's happening. And he said, Gene M, and I heard his squawk box over the PA system. Marvin said, yeah, go ahead. He says, pull up your gear now, head south. I got fish for you. Well, he's at about 5,000 feet, something like that, in this little 180. And he's flying around. And he's on his headset. Well, he's got a visibility point that he can see bodies of fish and jumpers from way up that we could never see at ground level or sea level. So we pull up the gear, we're going south, and all of a sudden, as we're going south, we're seeing nets. Boom, boom, boom. You're seeing salmon pop into the nets. At one point, in my young animated self, as you can imagine, I told Marvin, we need to throw it out, Marvin. And so I've got a buoy in my hand. I'm ready to throw it out. When I throw that huge orange buoy out of the boat, then all 300 yards of gillnet comes right behind it. Brrrr. He said, hold on. I said, Marvin. He goes, I know, but he's telling me to go further south. I'm like, this is crazy. And so I'm watching fish pour into these nets. And sure enough, now I hear him loud. Marvin turned up the loudspeaker in the flying bridge so I could hear it. He says, listen to this. He says, Gene M, further south, don't throw it out. Further south, further south. We're going past all these boats. These boats are looking at us like, you guys are crazy. We go right to the furthest south point of the line on a flood tide. So the tide's coming in, taking us into the legal part beyond the line. You can't go fish beyond the line, but the tide's coming in. So it's going to take us north. And he said, a little further. I'm like, this is getting crazy. A little further. And then he goes this, slap it out.
Is that like fisherman lingo?
Yeah, it's fisherman lingo. Okay. Slap it out. And wham, I threw it out. No joking. That net looked like 4th of July. Splashes, curves in the net were 40, 50 salmon at one time, hit it and just dragged the cork line through the water. And then pretty quick, we call it smoke on the water. When all 300 yards of net is on fire with fish pouring in, and then you know what happened in about 20 minutes? Corks began to sink. That's how full the nets were.
Wow.
Now here's what I want to tell you, boom crew, from the bottom of my heart. I feel like crying right now. Quit living your life in the natural. Quit living your life with sea level visibility when God sees it all. Come on. He sees it all. He sees every need that we have. And I truly believe God's saying to you today, I want to fill your net. It may not be as you suspected. It may not be on that side of the boat. It may be another hour or two. But get your net in the water. And if he tells you to pull it up and go south, listen to his voice. And when he tells you slap it out, slap it out. And God wants to do this work in your life. somebody's saying, how do we apply this practically? Coming up, minute and a half, we'll get that practical with it.
Helping you take the next step in your walk with Jesus. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
You can really get good at reading the Bible and getting good information, but until you are listening to the voice of God, you will not experience real transformation and provision and God meeting your needs. I'm telling you that straight up. So many of us live in academic discipleship with Jesus, and it's got to end. Discipleship was intended to be transformational. We've made it informational. We think if I can just get another devotional and do another Devo and this and that, no. You look at the words of what we see here and you go, whoa, Jesus met Mary of Magdala in her tears, met the disciples in their fears, met Thomas in his doubts, and met the disciples in their needs. And I'm telling you right now, God knows your needs. And how many times do we find in Scripture and over again where God meets the needs of his children? And you know what we've done in American evangelicalism is we've made academic what was to be dynamic. And we've short-sheeted our own bed. And I'm just asking you today, would you please consider to get your net in the water with regard to your needs and then listen to the voice of God? And practically, let me just speak here very clearly how this works. The greater understanding and working knowledge you have of the truth of God will afford the Spirit of God to guide you into that truth more readily. God's direction will never, ever fly contrary to the truth of his word. But the bumps and the nudges and the promptings of the Holy Spirit are more profound the better handle you have on the word of God. But I can assure you right now, God wants to speak. And you know what he does with young children of his? He accommodates them with very little understanding of the word, almost more so than the seasoned pro in Jesus. Isn't that funny, Allie, how that works?
Yeah. I mean, so what does that mean? So someone just said, like, so for this situation, I've been praying for a wife for 10 plus years. What am I practically to do with this sort of like living by the Spirit?
Let's talk about that coming up. Thank you, God.
It's like coffee, but for your ears. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Do you see a toilet seat when you look at Soldier Field? I've heard people tell me that. I don't see
what?
A toilet seat.
I'm like, wait, I've never heard that. Is that what people say? I've heard like space.
I keep hearing it all
spaceship.
The time.
Spaceship.
Oh, I keep
That's
hearing toilet seat. But for goodness sake, every stadium's round and it's going to have a lid on it. So, of course, they're all going to have some kind of look like that.
Well, I feel like the new ones that they're building, some of these new, like the SoFi.
Like the AT&T and SoFi.
I mean, they're insane. I think that whatever the new design, it's not that standard circular dome.
I mean, this Las Vegas thing that they've built, and
like,
I mean, it's got this whole wing coming off of it, and it's crazy. It looks like a concourse. Speaking of concourse, when are we going to build a new airport?
You are all over the map right now.
No, I'm serious about this. After traveling around the globe here recently, we are way behind the curve in supposedly the greatest country in the world.
I'm in
Switzerland.
Right.
They've got an airport.
Oh,
I'm in Dubai. These guys have airports that make ours look like outhouses.
I remember being in one international airport. I think it might have been Copenhagen, maybe. And it was all hardwood floor, like luxury hardwood floor.
Wow, really?
Like, where am I? It was beautiful. It was like, this is nicer than what you have in your house. Like these just gorgeous hardwood.
Welcome to Midway.
Like, well, you know, we got the time.
Oh, Midway.
Midway. Kind of rough sometimes, and just in terms of getting through there. But anyway, we've got, I mean, O'Hare is one of the busiest airports.
No, it's busy. They got no time to put down new surfaces.
We just need a makeover.
Yeah, let's get the extreme makeover team to come in and.
What's the girl's name that you love and my wife loves? What's her name?
Which one?
The woman out of
Joanne?
Texas. Yeah. What's her name? What's her name?
Joanne Gaines?
No. Yeah, yeah.
Chip and Joanna. Okay.
Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Okay. Yes.
No, we got to get Chip and Joanna on the O'Hare job. That's what we got to do.
Let's get some shiplap up on the walls. Let's put a barn door
something
up. Decorative barn door. I'm paint some things
could,
white.
They could straight up do it. They got commercial taste too. They could flat do it.
I feel like if it was a better ambiance, maybe people wouldn't be so grumpy when they travel.
That's a good point.
I mean, if you hear your flight is being delayed by an hour, but I'm walking on hardwood floor, I'm sitting in a comfortable seat and I've got beautiful lighting, I might be a little bit,
sterile. It is.
Don't know, man.
I don't know. Maybe
when
not.
When I go to the airport, I'm always happy because there's a couple little places in there I duck into. What's that concourse where they get the, what's the restaurant from downtown, the Mexican food, and it's out there in Concourse D or whatever it is?
Can't help you.
What is it?
Sorry.
For crying out loud. Somebody tell me what the Mexican diner is at O'Hare. It's so good. Oh.
Will you sit down and eat a full meal at an airport?
No, I'll grab flying? It and go on plane.
Okay.
Oh my.
It's like I don't understand people who can sit down and eat a full meal at the airport.
Oh, I could. In a heartbeat.
I'm a grab and go, but
and then fly.
And fly. Like,
yeah.
Like Macaroni Grill, I'll sit down there and pork down.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Macaroni Grill.
Surprising. Okay.
And then get on that plane. All you gotta be careful of is your burps. But other than that, you're fine.
Okay, let's just
all right.
Share that oxygen with you. Thank you.
Leave that right there. Don't be that guy.
I don't. That's what I'm telling you.
Come on the airplane with the.
Oh, now that's fragrant. No. Now that's where you got to be careful. The people that pack on the stuff that has this pungent, like, exotic smell to it.
I'm going to eat a Philly cheesesteak sandwich in seat 36B.
Extra onions.
Thank you, sir.
I remember
one woman was painting her nails. I was on a flight one time.
Oh, here we go. See, you wanted to shut me down. What now?
I was on a flight one time with a woman who pulled out nail polish to paint her nails. And
no.
I'm thinking, no, we can't breathe formaldehyde for the next 2 hours.
I didn't see it, but I heard a guy was clipping his toenails.
Now that's out of bounds.
Yuck.
Okay, we've gone off the rails talking about crazy flying stories.
There's stuff you don't do on a plane.
Many things.
Rick Bayless. That's exactly right. Thank you so much. Frontera Grill. Frontera Grill at O'Hare.
Really?
Oh, my. Oh, yes.
Okay.
They got some good breakfast grub, man. Really good stuff.
Okay.
All right. We're getting back on. Let me get my track shoes on. Got to get back on. I'm trying to get Allie reined in here a little bit.
I know, again.
Just derailing us like I always
again.
Do.
Yeah.
Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsor Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
So we're having a spirited discussion in here, Allie and myself, and we're talking about, well, how in the world do you hear the voice of God? And you hear people saying things all the time about, well, I heard this from the Lord. And then others say, I don't know that I've ever heard from the Lord. And how do you know you hear from the Lord? Well, I want to tell you something right now, Boom Crew. I've been in a season where I'm hearing from the Lord like I never have before in my life. And the season has been a couple, 3 years. And it's been awesome. Now, I was raised in a faith tradition that's very Bible church, you know, evangelicalism. But the great malady with a lot of evangelical Christians today is we worship information and we neglect transformation. Now, information's important. I mean, you got to read the scriptures, man. And I'm discovering things. Last night at 6 p.m., I was studying the Word of God. Man, did I find some stuff. I don't want to get into it right now, but it's awesome stuff. So I've been hearing the voice of God, but it can get confusing because you sometimes have people come up to you and say, I'm hearing from the voice of God about something for you. And I really love what Sam Storm says. He says, and he's a super practical theologian who, by the way, was raised a lot like me in a tradition that you didn't hear the voice of God much at all, if ever. Or if you did, you were a visitor at that church. That's what you were. So we got to be careful because the kind of miraculous words from the Lord Do they come? Yeah, but they're not frequent. And sometimes you meet these people and they're hearing from God like all the time. And it's like paragraphs of stuff that they're saying to you. And then you wonder, well, are they really hearing from the Lord? Because do I want to take direction from this?
Sure.
So I think first and foremost, we need to understand this. God speaks to you through his word. You're sealed in the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1. And according to John 14 and John 16, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into all truth. The primary function of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into truth. Now, I want to tell you, I've heard from the Lord more than ever before in my life, and it's leading to blessing like crazy. And I really mean that. And you might say, well, what kind of blessing? You got a new car? No, actually lost a car, down to one. It's okay. No, let me tell you how I know the Lord's speaking to me and guiding and directing my life. I'm getting my net wet, just like the disciples did. I go out fishing, right? I heard the voice of the Lord about planting 180 years ago, and then God spoke to me through Ajit Christopher to go launch a new campus out in the burbs. So we're getting our net wet, but as we're moving along, I'm listening to the Lord. You know what I hear more often than anything else? These are some adjustments I want you to make in your life personally. And when you make these adjustments in your life personally, and you throw that net then on the other side, it's going to come up full. I got some tough news for you, Boom Crew. When the Lord speaks to me, he's talking about character development in me almost more than any kind of a whip it into this lot. This guy's going to give you a brand new Beamer for no charge. Sometimes we get really fanciful about the voice of God, but I am convinced for me, the greatest blessings that God has given in my life have always been the result of me hearing him say things like, humble yourself, be quiet. That anger doesn't get my righteousness going here. Does that staff member really believe that you love them? You know what I'm saying, Allie?
Actually, yes. Yes, I do. Yeah, because it's hard. It's hard because in a lot of ways, it's like I would much rather that you said that it was like, okay, there's this great opportunity that's 1.5 years away.
Yeah, like, right.
But that inner character stuff, that correction, that sometimes gentle, subtle rebuke, you need to go apologize.
Yeah.
It's like, that's when I'm like, man, I kind of wish that I could say that was just something I ate and not the voice of the Lord.
So the needs that you have, I love that you need a job, but are you willing to hear God say to you, you're grumpy and people don't like to hire grumpy people? Straight up. And I have found that the greatest blessing, so you want intimacy in marriage. You want your marriage to get fixed. Well, I want intimacy in marriage. You know what I've found? How God works and makes my net full in my love with my bride is when he's convicting me that I'm being not so great a husband. And he shows me what it is to be a leading, loving servant. And when I do it, my net gets full. Isn't that a trip?
Yeah.
So somebody asked a question about, I've been praying for a wife for 10 years. Well, number one, I'm going to be real practical with you. Are you getting your net wet? Meaning, are you sitting at home praying or are you getting you got to kind of get out there. No, I'm being really proud. What are you laughing about, Super Die?
No, but you're right. You're right.
But you got to get out there.
You got to move.
You think this like Uber Eats? God's going to deliver some
ding ding
really good-looking gal on your front porch? Ain't happening. So you got to get your net wet. You got to hang out where radical Jesus followers hang out. You got to fish in the right ponds.
Right.
So you want to make sure you're looking for someone who's humble and teachable. And while you're fishing on board, why don't you ask a buddy or two, am I a catch? Does God want to change anything about me? Now, I'm just being a pastor to you right now. That's all I'm being. But this will help. These are the things that I find where I hear the voice of God. You know, sometimes I walk out of here and I go to the restroom. Thing I've never told you guys is that I really, almost every time I'm listening to the Lord going, Lord, what would you have me do? Sometimes he says to me, you know, when you come in, make this adjustment. At times I've heard a prompting of a passage that I come back in and I go, man, we got to use that one. And I've seen God work in you that way, Allie. But more often than not, there's something that God wants to change in me. And that internal change in me creates a full net, and the net doesn't tear. I hope that's good news for everyone.
No, and I think that's particularly helpful when you're talking about some of these needs that we have. You know, we had someone else who texted in with their dealing with a real personal challenge with the health issue in a wife, and they don't know what's going on. And there's prayers there where I know that you can hear a conversation this and go like, well, so what does a full net look like when I'm dealing with, in this case, a wife who's declining and I'm terrified of losing her and there's four kids in the family? And
it's huge. And you know what? Are we going to put a little Band-Aid on that with a quick fix? No. All I know is that our Jehovah Jireh loved you so much that he sent his son. And he signaled upon his resurrection that he is our need meter. And I don't know how that's going to happen, but I know that God's grace, his power, has given people all that they need to get through tough stuff. By the way, when your nets are full, it doesn't mean that challenges are gone. Could be a full net and provision for needs is that God's giving me what I need to get through this thing that's in front of me. You ever had challenges you want to go away and God said, they're not going to go away. I'm going to give you the stuff to get through it all the time. Right, Allie?
Yeah.
And it's hard. And maybe God wants to bring someone alongside your life that's going to cry with you. Maybe that's the greatest need meter today. Someone who's just willing to sit down and cry with you. We love you, Boom Crew. But know this for sure. God wants to show up in your life. Get your net wet. Listen to his voice. And when you find anything at all to celebrate, have some barbecued fish on the beach and some friendship with your God.
Whether it's number one or 100, take that step with Jesus today. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
You know, Allie and I were having a conversation in here earlier, a couple hours ago. And I think sometimes when we think I'm going to hear the voice of God, it's often maybe from someone else, or maybe you have people in your life that feel like they want to tell you what God wants you to do. And it can sound, wow, like this incredible monologue that someone's heard from God, and this is what you got to do, right?
And you know, sometimes I remember being a kid and trying to figure this out, and even into my teen and young adult years, and I would have these, I felt like were promptings, but then I would have this weird sort of internal wrestling match, like, okay, was that the voice of the Holy Spirit? Was that just my own thoughts? Am I going to miss it? Should I do this? And it would almost feel paralyzing because I would be in my own head trying to figure out what it was that I heard and who I heard it from.
Yeah, and I mean, it can get almost super saintville. You know what I mean? It's like, man, do I have a super saint around me? Listen to me. You are a child of God. And just like God showed up in Mary's tears, in the disciples' fears, in Thomas's doubts, and in the disciples' needs, and that's what we're drilling down on, God wants to show up in your needs. And the question is, how does that work? And I want to tell you how God has filled my nets. And you might not like my answer, but I think you'll love it if you apply it. Oftentimes I'll be in here and I'll get up and I'll walk out, or I'm driving home, or I've got a question in my heart. And are there things that God uses to change the direction of the nets that I'm throwing out? Absolutely. I mean, even in launching 180 Chicago, I heard from the Lord on that one. There's no question about it. But the new campus, that came through a Jit Christopher, a young man, my right-hand man. And God used him in my life. for me to hear the voice of God to throw a net into the Northwest. But on a day-to-day basis, what do I hear God saying to me that positions me for a full net? I'll tell you what it is. God is speaking to me through His Word, and He convicts, and He directs, and He has character adjustments in me that position me to get my net filled. God will say to me, does that person feel seen by you? Is that the right way to capture that story that you're about to share? He'll say to me, Carl, I know you really want to have intimacy with your bride. Pick up your net, cast it over here. I want you to be a living, breathing, loving, leading husband that your bride deserves. Yeah. I am absolutely convinced that you take from John 14 the reality that in this world you're going to have trouble, but the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will come and He will speak. John 16, He will speak these words to you and guide you into all truth. My nets are most filled when my character is most aligned with Jesus Christ. Straight up. And I want you to know today that God sees your need. He sees those financial needs. He sees those relational needs. He sees your spiritual need. He sees all those needs that are in your life. And here's what I want you to know. Get the net wet. Don't sit at home. If you need a J-O-B, get an application out there. But even as you've done that, listen to the voice of God. He's going to direct you and guide you, much like a spotter pilot will say, a little further south, a little further south. And you say, does God really speak to you that way? Yes, He does. And it's usually around adjustments that need to be made in my heart, soul, and mind so that I can be aligned with what God sees that He wants for me in my life. Isn't that awesome?
And I love in this story how Jesus allows them to participate in the miracle.
Yeah.
That He has them take an action step that was something they had done many, many times before. That casting the net back into the sea was exactly what they knew how to do. He didn't say throw both hands in the air, clap three times, and go in a circle.
Yeah. It's not some fanciful, crazy, hocus-pocus weird thing.
It was go ahead and do that thing that you've done without results all night. And then His supernatural influence produced a different result than they had seen.
Yes.
And so take the job application. That natural step of going online and searching LinkedIn and networking and all of those natural steps. But then when you seek the leading of the Holy Spirit, that's when you invite in the supernatural power for a different result.
Yeah. We had a guy text in earlier and he said, so I've been praying for 10 years for a wife. What do I do? Well, I'd say first off, you got to get your net wet. Somebody that's looking for relationships in your life, get your net wet. What's that mean? It means get yourself fishing in the ponds where that's likely to happen, number one. Number two, allow the Lord to search your heart and ask the question, and I really mean this from the bottom of my heart, to any man out there that's listening right now going, where's that woman? Maybe God's saying, you know what? There's some rich waters I'm going to have you cast your net into. But there's some character adjustments I want to make in your life so that you're the kind of man that's worthy of the woman I want to bring your way. Generally speaking, praying and hearing God's voice is not going to be this supernatural of this. Does it happen where God will cause something that is out of this world, kind of normative world that we live in, that'll be dramatic, that'll show up in your life. Sure, I've had that happen before as well. But more often than not, it's what God wants to do in me before I cast that net on the other side that brings that bountiful harvest. And he wants to do it. I have just one question for you. Are you listening to the spotter pilot and what he's saying in your life today? That's all. Are you listening? Get your net wet. Listen to what God's saying. And then cast the net with all those character adjustments that he's asking you to do, where he tells you to throw it. And then there's one more thing that you can't forget, and we'll talk about that coming up, because the story goes on. Isn't God good?
All the time.
Meets us in our need today.
Giving hope directly from the source. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
Okay, we're in a really cool week here where we're talking about the promise of God to show up in your life, in your tears, in your fears, in your doubts, and in your needs. How great is that? That our God cares about our needs.
Yes.
Practically.
And that he's able to supply what we need because of the riches in Christ Jesus. I love this in Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet or supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus, which is a reminder that there's not this limited supply.
Yeah.
That we don't have to worry that he doesn't have enough for what we need.
And how does that work? Well, we find in this story, the disciples went out, they had need, not only to eat, as we find here in a moment, because there was a little beachside barbecue going on that morning. They have a need to eat, but they needed to make market with some of those fish. They needed to have some money coming in. So there's 153 fish. Some of you wonder, did they eat them all? No, they went and sold them. That's what they did, guys. They went and sold them. Why? Because they had needs. Jesus saw their need. And he was proven to them that day that he saw. He could see what they could not see. That's the whole point. We as earthly beings here, we have a limited vantage point, but our God sees all things. So we got to get our net wet. One of the cool things about the disciples is they needed fish to eat, to make market with. So they went out and they fished. You know, sometimes we have great needs in our life and we sit at home and wring our hands. What if God's saying, get the net wet, guys? Put it out there. It's often been said, and it's true, God can steer a moving ship better than one that's stuck at the dock. So I don't know what side of the boat he's going to have you cast it on, but you got to get your net wet. Secondly, you got to listen to the Lord and you got to hear his voice. And his voice is often talking not about that big provision that's going to be coming our way. It's like with our net in the hands, he's saying, and I want to change this about you, Carl. Most of the lordship, discipleship moves that we make are character adjustments that align our lives with Jesus so that when we cast that net on the other side of the boat, it will come up full. And God wants to do that. But there's another principle here. So they hauled in this net, 153 of them. Net wasn't torn. By the way, you'll know when you stumble across God's provision for your life in any way. It's not a lot of collateral damage. God keeps things intact. There's a sense of health and well-being attached to it. That's right here in the text. You know what Jesus said? Come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. And I was talking to my adult son, Caban. He's in Miami, and his company is just booming right now. And I was able to remind him, I said, Cabe's son, do me a favor. Make sure that you stop to give God praise for all that he's done. You know what I was saying to him? After your net is full, relationally, emotionally, financially, spiritually. Sit down and have some breakfast with God and celebrate what he's done in your life. My son, Caban, he responded to me and he said, "Man, Dad, I do that all the time. I ask God for help for things and then he shows up and then I'm on to the next thing." I said, "Oh, Caban, you're in good water with your dad here. I can do the same thing.
It's easy to do."
But maybe this morning what you need to do while you're casting your nets for one thing is to look at that one thing in your life that you know you can praise him for and just have a moment where you're having breakfast with Jesus. Right, Allie?
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful story in John 21. And he makes them breakfast on the beach.
On the beach.
I love that. It's got the little charcoal fire and the fish and the bread.
Come and have breakfast. Jesus is calling. Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.